anyway, we need to start with your, with singing, Lee. You going to sing, Annie?
I don't know the words.
To what? Whatever you're thinking of singing?
Yeah.
Like Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet. That saved a wretch like me.
So what was the Reagan all about?
What was Reagan all about, Reagan?
Right.
And that's, and yeah, so I figured we would get Mom to talk about, because we just saw the Reagan movie. This is
The Princess and the Priest
recording. And Mom and I went and watched Reagan. The boys, who are also here, well, this is, they watched
Deadpool and the Wolverine.
Deadpool and the Wolverine.
Yeah, that's a part of a Marvel superheroes.
I guess.
Technically, it was a crossover.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, Mom's got to talk about Reagan. I'm sorry.
I thought it was a really good movie. I like the fact that they portrayed it through the eyes of the enemy.
Oh, yes. The guy who was supposed to keep an eye on him for the party.
Who they completely ignored every time he would bring them up. Until it was too late.
That's right. They probably would have made sure that nothing ever became of him if they would have known that he took them out. Took him down. Took. Anyway.
Provide any context for the people listening?
Oh, context what? For like you?
Context?
Me and the people who are listening.
Oh, no.
Probably,
no,
like
just,
me, don't have a whole
lot of information.
We're
just telling them to go watch the movie.
You know, in 1981, I believe, he was shot, but it wasn't just through his ear like Trump. It was on his left side, just under his heart. And they had to go in and find the bullet because it wasn't a clear shot. It didn't go all the way through.
They went through, yeah. Anyway, the Russians say, no, it wasn't us. It says, not to say that we didn't have a plan like that, but we didn't do it.
That reminds me of the JFK assassination, where when it happened, all the Soviets' whole thing, the KGB, had to go through just about every agent they had working on America to be like, did we do this? Did we do this? We didn't do this? Okay, good.
Almost everything gets done by somebody on the inside.
But I was off at college and didn't think about getting an absentee ballot before I left. And because I wasn't registered for Idaho, I didn't get to vote that election. But I would have voted for him had I been able to.
Oh, you liked Reagan?
Oh, yeah. And interestingly enough, one of his things was, has the last 4 years been good to you?
Yeah, which is kind of like what Trump's saying. Which is interesting, because it is. It's like, well, how do you feel? And you go,
if you feel everything's great and fine and dandy, go ahead and vote for him. But if not, well, you
let
know,
me,
you vote
let
for
me
him.
Give you some other
another option.
Yeah, there you go. That was almost exactly how he said it. I never got to vote for Ronald Reagan. I was too young. I voted for his, no, I didn't vote for his vice president either. The first time I was able to vote was in 1988, and I vote for the Libertarians.
Don't you usually do that, or at least attempt to
vote? Well, yes, in the past I did, but these days I vote with Lisa, because I think it's more important for us to make sure that we don't counter each other, cancel out our votes by voting in opposition to the other. It's not good. So I vote with Lisa. Of course, it's not that I don't try to influence her. Oh, my gosh, do I try to influence her.
We discuss it before we go and vote.
That's right.
It's not like I say something and he says, yes, ma'am. That's not how it works.
I've never really known Dad to be just a straight out of the box yes man.
Me?
Yeah, you're not like the second she wants to do something, you trip over yourself to do it.
Oh,
you
I don't know.
Often debate about it for a minute.
I don't know. I don't think I debate hardly any with Lisa, honestly.
That's just the impression that I get after being with you guys for the majority of my life.
Oh, okay, well, that's there's something to say for that. Yeah, because Mom is definitely conservative, and I'm
not.
I'm a classical liberal, you know.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Jeffersonian than anything else.
But
which is definitely a losing proposition these days. So Mom and I decide what we're going to do, and Mom is much more stridently conservative than I am anything else. Stridently, so. I vote with Mom. And
that's probably a bit better than mine. Mine is basically bring back the Roman Empire and make it better than they were.
Gee whiz. No, I'm not much about the Empire.
But yeah, it shows when he was a young boy and a book that he had read.
And he said, I want to be like this guy.
Yeah. And his dad was not...
Was not a good man?
Well, he drank a lot. Because, and he asked his mom why his dad was the way he was. She said because his life didn't turn out the way he thought it would.
He thought, yeah. He would have liked to.
Yeah. So I guess when he was quite young, he already decided what he wanted his life to be like. And...
it wasn't going very well.
Well, he became a lifeguard.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Before he got to that point. He became a lifeguard.
Lisa's trying to be chronological. I'm just trying to pick up pieces. I'm not gonna do the whole premise of the movie, Lee.
No, I know. But I like what he said because Nancy at one point asked him how did he know beforehand what people were wanting or needing. And he said that when he was a lifeguard, he would look at that river
and
the currents, both on top as well as the ones underneath. And he knew from knowing those currents who was going to be in trouble even before they knew that they were going to be in trouble. And because of that, he was able to go out there before they were in trouble and save them. And so when he became president, he pretty much did the same thing.
He applied that same philosophy?
Yeah.
At least that's how you can see why he behaved the way he did.
Yeah. And
even when people didn't appreciate it, got mad at him for saving their lives or whatever.
Yeah, but, you know, he got married to another actor. He became an actor. He got married to another actress. As her career kept going up, his started going down. They had 3 children, of which the 3rd died the same day she was born.
Oh, no.
That really affected.
Yeah, but... His wife pretty much, their marriage pretty much ended after that. And, you know, so his life was pretty sucky at the time, you know? He lost his career, he lost his marriage, he lost a kid, you know?
And then he met Nancy.
Yeah, then he met Nancy, and,
she was loyal.
Yes, she was very loyal. They were very much in love with each other. I think she's the one who talked him into...
politics?
Yeah, but he decided... Somebody offered him some other position, and he said, well, I've played a U.S. senator before, but never played a governor.
Yeah, no, and that's what he went
for. And so that's what he went for. And then he went from there to, I believe, the White House.
He lost it. There was some time that passed.
Yeah. But
and he thought that being governor of California was going to be
the big thing in his life.
Then he said, I can do more. Yeah. Anyway.
And during this time that he was being governor and being in politics, he remembered all of the communism things that he had heard. And, I mean, he was, what, VP of the Actors Guild or something?
Well, he was the president of two. Uh-huh.
And,
as well, Mark.
And how the communists were trying to take over Hollywood. And so that influenced him.
Yeah, he got an attitude about communism.
But so that influenced him greatly. And the first time he ran for president, he lost against Nixon.
No.
It was
Ford.
Nixon. Was it Ford?
Ford. He lost the nomination to Ford. Ford lost the presidency to Carter.
Yes, that's what it was.
Gerald R. Ford never ran for president.
No. Well, no, he did, but he lost.
Yeah.
He was appointed president.
Yeah,
I know that part because of an explanation about Operation Paul Bunyan.
I have no idea what that is.
It was where we almost started World War III with North Korea over a tree.
I don't know anything about that.
I'll have to tell you about it later.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, he became president.
Sure are doing a synopsis, Lee.
Sorry.
I don't really know a lot about Reagan.
Well, you should watch the movie.
You might
get to know some. Most of the seminal stuff that he did in his presidency, I remember him doing it.
Me too. Mr. Gorbachev.
Yeah, I remember when he did that. That was amazing. And I remember when the Berlin Wall fell. That was amazing. I was in college. I was driving home from Portales to Clovis. But me and Mom were living in Dixie Johnson's house. And, I remember when they started tearing down the wall.
The Berlin Wall.
Yeah, that was...
That
was a heck of a thing.
He loved being outside. He would chop firewood for Nancy. He loved riding his horses.
That was kind of how it ended. Was
he loved jelly beans.
Well, yeah, because he said, this is how I gave up smoking was with jelly beans. So he always had a big jar of jelly beans everywhere he went.
Yeah.
That was kind of his trademark thing. For having on his desk.
Hey.
And,
good.
He pretty much, I think it was like a year after his presidency ended, his second term ended, he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And he lived with Alzheimer's for about 10 years before he finally succumbed to that.
And then she took care of him.
Yep.
So, he was good.
What a terrible way for what seems to be a great man to end.
Sharp as a tack.
He was sharp.
And it's like, wow, what a low blow to give...
Just have
this
it all
man.
But you know what? It's okay. He still accomplished what he set out to do.
And what did he set out to do? He
destroyed communism.
Yep.
Which was one of his biggest things. That was something. He was all about freedom.
Well, he didn't completely destroy it. It's still growing pretty strong on the West Coast.
Well,
I think a bit of the East Coast as well.
He did end the Cold War.
And he destroyed... He essentially destroyed the Soviet Union. which was any power that the communists had. Is it coming back? Yeah. Why? Because people like free stuff. It sounds good. Feels good. But, yeah. Nope.
But, anyway,
it was a great movie.
It was.
I think they did a good job. I think Dennis Quaid did a good job playing him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dennis Quaid played great. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
He did a really good job.
I haven't seen any of Dennis Quaid's stuff.
Oh, he's done tons of interviews leading up to this. Although, yeah. I think this is going to be kind of a...
Kind of his last one?
No.
The feather in his cap?
No! This is just... It isn't going to be a big blockbuster. It isn't going to be anything like that.
But he did say it was his favorite movie he's ever done so far.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Because he liked what... He liked Reagan. Most of us did at the time. Everybody I knew did, but then, you know, I was a kid from Cloquet, New Mexico. He was definitely a bastion of Reagan supporters, I tell you.
Yeah. So, it was all good except for the seating. I told her G6 and G7, and she put in D6 and D7.
Well, it's because she had to reset her computer, and she was all flustered and upset. There's all that.
So it was a little close.
I'm sorry. I thought it was just fine. It's a little loud.
Well, God, every theater's loud.
Or something. Wow. So I think I still have to do that.
I think more modern theaters have, like, headsets now where you can adjust the volume to your, like...
This one's not modern, because it doesn't have that. But anyway, it was a good movie. It was well worth the
time and the money and all that. Headaches. Boy, Lisa had... This was one of the worst days for Lisa for just everything going to pot on her. Gracious.
Yeah, we went to a restaurant.
We went to the restaurant. They took so long to get us. We had to just basically just all...
Yeah.
We almost walked out before they brought our food.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm sorry, guys. I just don't have time.
We were there for 45 minutes before they brought us our food.
Yeah.
And we had to leave in the next 15 minutes.
It wasn't like the place was busy. I guess
no, it wasn't busy.
In the kitchen or something. I don't know.
And when she brought us our food, you know, we said, we need our check and we need some to-go boxes.
Yeah. And it still took him some time to get that accomplished.
Yeah.
That night. So he ate some. Try to. Anyway, so yeah, it was good stuff. Let's see. Along with all that, with seeing this movie, you need to go see the Reagan movie, especially people who
don't know a whole lot about
Reagan. who were old enough to that Reagan is a meaningful personality. Yeah, it's almost like, God, it's been almost too long. There's too many people that just don't know him and aren't terribly interested in him. Well, it's just because you guys lived in a world where Reagan was already gone. He'd already done what he had done. You know, it's like talking to people who go, well, how do you feel like when the Soviet Union fell apart to people in Russia? And half of them go, it happened before I was born. You know, I have no idea what that was like. I just hear stories from my grandparents about how it was to live under the Soviet Union. My parents were really glad when it fell apart, but it doesn't mean anything to me because I never had to live like that. I live in the time I live in. And that's kind of the thing about the Reagan movies. I think it came out about 20 years too late.
It's kind of like the stripling sons of, you know, of Helaman. And how they said that their mothers taught them, and they didn't doubt their words. And at one point, Reagan was talking with Gorbachev and mentioned God. And Gorbachev Gorbachev kind of shook his head, you know, because they didn't.
Communists do not believe in God.
Right. But he did say that his grandmother, had taught him about God.
And
so it's the grandmothers in Russia.
She prayed for all the atheists, including you. Because you're an atheist.
So the grandmothers in Russia were like the mothers of the Sons of Helium.
There you go.
That was good.
Yeah. Well, we need to go back and talk about what's been going on.
Okay, go ahead. You start.
I got a job. Doing super secret stuff.
That
nobody can talk about, so you're never going to know what I'm doing. My official title is I'm a field service engineer. And, I'll start here in a couple of days. Well, I'll do the orientation in a couple of days. After that, then we'll figure out what on earth I'm doing and how it's going to get accomplished. Anyway, I'm sorry, you're going to say something. I apologize.
And you're going to start on 4th of September.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And it isn't like I show up at the front gate, knock on it, and say, hey, I'm supposed to be here. It's just virtual online crap, so I don't know when I'm officially going to start doing any of it, but that's okay.
You
the last job I had, it took months before I could officially start doing anything about it. Boy, and then it got horrible. Anyway, regardless of that, what else is going on in the world of us? Not much else.
Yeah.
Sam's working to slim down so he can go into the Army, I think, still. Is that the plan still, Sam?
That is still the plan, yes.
Excellent. Okay, well, there we go. So, it didn't help that we gave him a large popcorn and a big soda to watch the movies with. It's tricky. Anyway, but he'll have to work all that off in the coming few weeks again.
Yep.
See, anyway. You eat better when you come home. You probably shouldn't come home.
That's
you probably lose weight faster.
That's kind of what I'm kind of telling the guys. You need to tell those Army guys, just hold out. If he stays consistently what he's doing, he's going to lose the weight faster than constantly coming here and spending weekends and doing other crap.
Gaining weight on the weekend.
Maybe. And just to go and weigh in, it's not helpful, guys. If I've learned one thing in life, over-monitoring doesn't do a good job. Anyway, but you'll have to convince them of that. If you don't show up one time, I'm sure they're not going to freak out.
Oh, no.
I'm sure they'll, if you come back after a month and you've lost lot of weight and you're a lot closer to the goal, I bet you they'll be a lot happier.
Probably.
Anyway, so that's my take on that. Anyway, let's see. Anything else? Nothing else I know of going on with our family particularly.
Well, Josh.
What? Oh, go ahead, Lee.
Josh,
you don't have to remind me. You just say it.
Josh is re-upped for another 6 years.
In the Air Force.
And been told that he's going to be staff sergeant eventually. He's passed all of his tests and exams or whatever you want to call them. He's just waiting to sew those stripes on his shirt, I guess.
A place has to open for a staff sergeant. Right now they don't have an opening for him, so he has to wait until there's the opening. Then he becomes a staff sergeant. It's just the way the Air Force works. They've only got so many of so many people, of so many ranks. And, you have to wait for an opening until that happens to you. Mark.
That's right. And,
because that's my take from it, from the standpoint of a contractor. I think I've got it reasonable.
Technically, yes, but I think for staff sergeant, I don't think so. Usually, they practically beg you to go from an E4 to E5. Because that's usually when people start getting out. Like, they don't want to get assigned to a desk and just do paperwork all day, so they can get out while the government's good.
Well, there it is.
I don't know. I think cryptolinguist is one of those jobs where...
You're at a desk anyway?
Where you have a desk anyway. And I think it's just so competitive that it may be what Dad's saying, that you have to have a spot open.
At that level, it's...
Yeah. Because it's always different for every career field, depending on what they need at the moment. Rules are always changing from year to year, to be honest. That's why whenever you go for a promotion, you got to really keep your ears open, always be asking what new role changes there are. And, yeah, it's always fun whenever you try to progress in the ranks past E4.
I think that's when a lot of guys cross-train, so they can keep going up. I think that's almost kind of a thing that a lot of guys have to ultimately do, even though they went in for one thing. When they get to that level, they're usually doing something else or leading something else.
Yeah, that's
whether they know how to do it or not.
That's what I've found out is that when you're in your first few ranks, you gotta really just go for it and try and get all the extracurricular stuff you can, like go airborne, go ranger, just try and get as many achievements under your belts that way.
And really stand out.
Really stand out, so that way when you actually go up in ranks and you find a job that you really like, they'll see your list of accomplishments and they'll snap you up right then and there. Because if you go in and you're like airborne and ranger and all that, they will take you over just a guy who's been doing the job, that exact same job, his entire enlistment. Because, you know, you've shown that you can go above and beyond. All he's shown is that you can show up for work and do it pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah, even though common sense would say that the guy who's been doing the job the longest should be the one to get promoted.
Those guys will boot you out and you can come back as a contractor and keep doing that
job
forever.
Yeah, Air Force loves contractors.
They do.
We had a tech sergeant who actually did that, who got out and came back in as a contractor because he was going to be bumped up to master. And when you're a master, you have to do just basically a lot of admin stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he didn't want to do that.
Just line the desk.
So he basically just became, just got out, came back in, same position where he was, and he basically ran that fuel shop, man. He was the man. He was the one you went to for everything. He was so good at it that Sergeant Rukenis, who was technically in charge of both the water and fuel shop, didn't really have to do anything with fuels because he could trust that that contractor could get it all done.
Hands off, huh?
Yeah. Sergeant Rukenis, I love him, but he was very hands off. He was the guy who was always bucking for the next promotion.
Yeah.
And we liked that because he didn't get involved a whole lot, you know, try and be like a micromanager. So he just left us to our own devices and we operated pretty well under that.
Well,
good.
Well. Oh, no. What on earth is that?
Amber Alert or something like
something
that.
Something going on
or
in
weather
alert. That's not mine.
Matt, is it your phone?
No.
I don't think it's me. Anyway, something's going wee.
Someone's being on a weather niche.
Oh, you think so?
Probably not. Anyway, yeah, it's always fun going for a promotion in military. That's why I'm pretty grateful that I was in E3 when I got out, because all that pretty much was just wait until you do your time and grade and then get the stripes sewn on. Yeah, that's probably a good reason why I'm going to the Army, because Army is like the only branch where you don't have to
test.
I think there is, like, a little bit of testing, but they don't require you to, like, craft an essay about all your accomplishments, how you're a motivated worker, and that's why they should promote you over such and such other guy.
I've heard that.
And the Army doesn't do that, so that's why I'm really glad that I'm aiming for Army this time.
Okay.
Of course, they're a bunch of grunts, and they're going to want you to do grunt work. Are you ready for that? You ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I can't do grunt work. It's...
I'm going to go ahead and kill off the recording.
Okay.
You guys can keep talking. And
well, then,
so,
sayonara, farewell.
Okay.
There it is. Goodbye, lovely people.
Bye-bye.
Bye.